if you look at it in aggregate, you're talking about 4 billion plus people globally, right? And about 75% of those people live in Asia, right? Now, if you then begin to, you know, move into particular sectors and look at particular sectors and then particular geographies, which is what we're trying to do with the work that Omidyar has supported and pushed, we've focused on India and on energy access. Within India, looking across the entire value chain, for the poor, energy access is a $6.5 to $7 billion business, potentially, by 2020. That's annual. That's an annual revenue. In the pharmaceutical industry in India, 2007 was $10 billion, just to give you a bit of an idea of what we're talking about. So this is a substantial opportunity. And that's across the value chain from fuel sources to generation to distribution to home-based systems and then single-purpose devices. So all the way from where does the fuel come from to the individual using something in particular.
What's the big advantage of this approach?
Well, I how should I put it? In a sense, we're not necessarily saying, gee, abandon an approach and then adopt a new approach and there's competing approaches. What we're saying is that the world of development for ages has said, let's create an enabling environment so lots of things will flower and blossom, and then hopefully that's going to create jobs and deliver goods and services to people. And that works, and it has got its flaws, it's got its merits. What we're saying is you could take that model and refine it and say, instead of it being, gee, I'll create the general monetary framework for emerging markets so that they have the proper banking regulation, which is really important, what we're saying is go and fix the policy and the rules of entry and exit in electrification so that people who want to invest in rural energy access for the poor are help you help them resolve some of their uncertainty. Create certification bodies so that people can will take up cook stoves, reduce the pollution in their environment, and you know be able to have a healthy environment. Create certification on solar lamps so that people are prepared to take it up as well. That's what we're saying is it's taking the model and making it even stronger, and so that you can get greater and greater impact. That's what we mean by so. If there's an advantage to the approach, it's really saying let's be even smarter about the money that we're investing, and let's try to pair that up with people who are prepared to do for-profit investment. You know, and it might sound a little bit abstract for a moment, but the point is to say, first of all, you should demand commercial rates of return. We think that if you don't push for commercial rates of return, you won't get sustainable models. So if I go to the World Bank or the Asian Development Bank and say, can you give me money to basically provide electricity for poor people in rural India or rural Philippines, they might, and we could build some really inefficient systems, and they wouldn't be very sensible for the particular environment in which they were operating, and they may not last, and you may not have the returns to be able to upgrade the infrastructure, the poles and the wires, which requires some upgrading over time. So you don't have a model that's going to be sustainable, right? So the point is, if you don't insist on a model that's sustainable, you're not going to get outcomes or push people to innovate. It's the insistence on a bar of return that is going to create the frugal innovation, the GE example around the EKG. If you're not trying to do this at a price point, I had a client that's in the Philippines that wanted to provide internet access. They said, and they went to a company, and the company designed some computers and came back with these computers and said, well, let's get them to buy these $300, $400, $500 computers. I said, okay, take a look at the disposable income that's out there. There's no way they can afford this, let alone your internet access. Take a price point based on the income people have and work backwards from that and design to that. If I don't insist on a commercial rate of return against that price point, you'll never come up with a model that'll serve that. It's about a $1 billion market. We're saying it could be a $6.5 billion market by 2020 per year, right? And that's just we just went out to that, you know, that point 2020, but you know, continue to grow that, you know, over time as well. Because I do think that there's a perception that impact investment is this philanthropic, you know, feel better about yourself kind of thing. That's not what it is, and that's not the message we're trying to get out. We're trying to get out that there's huge economic opportunities, real economic opportunities out there, and they can be pursued, and in the same time, you will do an enormous good for the people around you. Some of the things that they should be thinking about if you're new is, and you'll begin to see this in the materials that Omidyar is going to be releasing, there's aspects of the business model, the design that you want to be ready for, which are how do you influence take up? Who are the key influencers? And that's not something most companies have to think about, but how do I influence the take up and educate the target clientele that I'm trying to serve? How am I going to distribute and get this thing out to market? What's the price point at which I'm going to operate at? What are the surrounding elements of the ecosystem that need to be in place for me to be able to fully capture the opportunity? Is there skilled labor present? So whether you're an entrepreneur or an investor in an entrepreneur, you'd want to be looking through the entrepreneur to the business model to see if they're addressing those kinds of issues.